From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id. Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kHz and voanews.id.
Here is the news first, the headlines. President targets decrease of COVID-19 curve in May. APAC trade ministers issue statement on COVID-19 pandemic. Now the news in details. President Joko Widodo reminded all ministries and staff to make the handling of COVID-19 as the focus of all programs that are carried out. The president, during his direction at the opening of the plenary cabinet session on Wednesday at the Merdeka Palace, Jakarta, stated that the government must immediately be able to reduce and control the transmission of the COVID-19 in Indonesia. The president targeted the spread of the virus can be completely controlled in May, including lowering the COVID-19 curve.
Untuk itu semua menteri, kepala lembaga, Panglima TNI Kapolri, saya minta mengerahkan semua tenaga.
I ask all the ministers, head of institutions, chief of Indonesian police, Kapolri, military commanders to mobilize all the energy and power to control COVID and deal with the impact. Our target is that it must be truly achieved in May based on the basis of the target the government has given. The curve must go down. It must enter a moderate position in June and it must also enter an easier position in July. It is done not only by the task force, but it also involves all elements of the nation. Government ranks, social organizations, volunteers, political parties, and the private sector. This must be organized properly. The president is sure that if we are united, if we are disciplined in implementing health protocols, all the plans that we have prepared in the past can handle the COVID as soon as possible.
Jika kita disiplin dalam menjalankan protokol kesehatan, semua rencana yang sudah kita siapkan yang lalu, ini akan bisa mengatasi COVID secepat-cepatnya.
Moreover, President Joko Widodo also recalled all staff to hold to the principles of good governance in handling COVID-19. He requested that all parties hold transparency and accountability in an effort to achieve the goals of people's safety, both in the field of the health and social economy. The Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation APAC ministers responsible for trade acknowledge the huge challenge posed on account of the COVID-19 pandemic and issued a statement on it. The APAC trade ministers were deeply saddened by the human losses caused by the pandemic. According to a written statement issued by the APAC Secretariat, received on Wednesday, APAC trade ministers also highly lauded frontline workers worldwide, especially those from member economies, for their contribution and sacrifice in safeguarding public health. The APAC trade ministers also expressed concern over the impact of COVID-19 on vulnerable developing economies. To this end, they reiterated the criticality of multi-level collaboration transcending regions to expedite their fight against COVID-19 and vouched to working closely to address pandemic-related disruptions with urgency. The UK now has the highest number of coronavirus deaths in Europe. According to the latest government figures, there have been 29,427 deaths recorded across the UK, a figure Foreign Secretary Dominic Raab said was a massive tragedy. Nuka Kusumawati has the details. The United Kingdom has recorded Europe's highest number of deaths linked to coronavirus. It has overtaken Italy and is second only to the United States in total number of recorded deaths from the disease. Dominic Raab, UK's the first Secretary of State, said the latest figures portrayed a massive tragedy, but he warned against making comparisons with other countries until much more information is available on all causes of death.
There are different ways of counting deaths. As we know, we've had that debate in this country. We now publish data that includes all deaths in all settings, and not all countries do that, so I'm not sure that the international comparison works unless you reliably know that all countries are measuring in the same way. And it also depends on how good, frankly, countries are in gathering their statistics. And our own Office of National Statistics is widely acknowledged to be a world leader.
He added the only sensible comparison is by looking at excess all-cause mortality adjusted for the age distribution of the country, but even then, it will be very difficult to ascribe the reasons for any differences. The latest figure shows there were 693 deaths linked to the virus in a 24-hour period in the UK. That brings the total number of deaths officially linked to the virus to 29,427. The latest total for Italy, previously the highest in Europe, now stands at 29,315. Both Italy and the UK record the deaths of people who have tested positive for coronavirus. UK's Deputy Chief Scientific Advisor, Dame Angela McLean, said that it could be months before full global comparison can be made.
Everybody knows that making international comparisons in such statistics can be difficult. And it may be that will take some time to sort out, and this isn't over yet.
The impact of the pandemic on some of the most vulnerable people is increasingly clear. Italy was the first part of Europe to see cases rise rapidly, and the scene of hospitals being overwhelmed were met with shocks and disbelief. On the face of it, both countries now count deaths in a similar way, including both in hospitals and the community. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. President Donald Trump on Wednesday stated the coronavirus pandemic has been worse for the United States than Pearl Harbor and 9/11, and renewed his criticism of China, saying the outbreak should have been stopped there. As quoted by AFP.com, as Germany unveiled plans for a return to near normality, including a May 15 restart of Bundesliga, the European Union forecasts a historic recession on the virus-battered continent. Trump also stated fallout from the pandemic has hit the United States harder than the December 7, 1941, Japanese bombing of Pearl Harbor or the September 11, 2001 Al-Qaeda attacks on New York and Washington. Trump told reporters at the White House that this is really the worst attack the U.S. has ever had. This is worse than Pearl Harbor, and this is worse than the World Trade Center. Venezuela will try two Americans allegedly captured during a failed bid by mercenaries to invade the country, President Nicolas Maduro said on Wednesday as the U.S. vowed to use every tool available to bring them home. Venezuela announced Monday that it had arrested the two former U.S. Special Forces soldiers on suspicion of trying to topple Maduro in an operation supported by the U.S.-backed opposition. The leaders of the crisis-wrecked South American countries insisted the Americans, identified as Luke Denham and Aaron Berry, were being well-treated with respect. Maduro showed the passport of Denham, 34 years old, and Berry, 41 years old, on state television. The U.S. Army has confirmed there were former members of the Green Berets who were deployed to Iraq. In Washington, U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said the government will use every tool that he has available to try to get them back. Mercenaries from the Wagner Group, a Russian paramilitary organization seen as being close to Vladimir Putin, are fighting in Libya, U.N. diplomats said on Wednesday, citing an expert report on the country's arms embargo. It is the first time the UN has confirmed claims first made in US media that the group is supporting military strongman Khalifa Haftar. Moscow has denied being responsible for deploying the group. The Wagner Group is a shadowy private security firm, and thousands of its contractors are believed to be in foreign conflicts from Syria to Ukraine to the Central African Republic. A senior U.S. State Department official has told AFP the group is an instrument of the Kremlin's policy in Libya. The panel has identified the presence of private military operatives from Wagner in Libya since October 2018. The UN report says, according to several diplomats who spoke to AFP on condition of anonymity, as the document has not yet been made public, Wagner has been providing technical support for the repairs of military vehicle, participating in combat operations and engaging in influence operations. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said the U.S. does not have certainty about the origin of the coronavirus pandemic, despite claiming over the weekend there was enormous evidence the virus originated in a Chinese lab. Although he conceded he couldn't be certain, Pompeo continued to push his lab claim, countering the leading theory among intelligence experts and international analysts that the virus came into human contact at a wet market. Assessments circulated among U.S. intelligence sharing allies have posited that it is highly unlikely the virus originated in a lab. The U.S. intelligence community has said it is looking into both possibilities. In an interview on Fox Business later Wednesday evening, Pompeo doubled down on his claim that he had seen evidence that this likely came from the Wuhan Institute of Virology, but added that he'd be happy to see evidence that disproved that. The top U.S. diplomat has maintained an aggressive line of attacks on China's handling of the virus as the Trump administration looks to deflect blame for its response to the disease that has now killed more than 71,000 Americans and stalled the economy in the crucial months before the presidential election. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusmawati. Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today entitling 2020 Regional Elections Rescheduled. COVID-19 pandemic has brought about serious impact to almost all sectors. Many social and economic activities were hampered because of COVID-19 pandemic, including in the state administrations and government. Actually, 2020 is another political year in Indonesia, for it will hold the regional election. Regions to join the regional elections 2020 are 270 regions, consisting of 9 provinces, 224 regencies, and 37 cities. Because of the COVID-19 pandemic that is unknown when it will end, Indonesian government finally postponed the regional election in September into December. The postponement or even rescheduling into 2021 had been voiced by many observers, because during regional election, mass gathering will happen. Finally, President Joko Widodo signed the government regulation in lieu of law, number 2, 2020 on Monday. That regulation regulates the delay of regional elections 2020 voting from September into December, or can even be longer, depending on the COVID-19 pandemic situation in Indonesia. Meanwhile, observers saw the delay of regional elections into December 2020 is not right. Researchers of Center for Strategic and International Studies, Arya Fernandez, in a discussion said that the regional election on December are difficult to realize and the fastest option is on March 2021. Meanwhile, Pusako researchers from Andalas University Charles Simabura worried the delay will have a long effect on regional elections, especially the budget. Therefore, he asked the regional elections delay should not disturb the budget, so it can be held anytime, this year or next year. About the budget, after virtual meeting with Financial Minister Sri Mulyani on Monday, House of Representative Budget Body approved the Perpu No. 1, 2020, proposed by the government, which contain additional budget, especially for COVID-19 handling, and the decision result will be brought into plenary session to be ratified as law before the session period ends on May 12, 2020. COVID-19 pandemic is quite tremendous. Almost all national and international scale events were delayed until next year. However, some national scale sports events are done because of economic and legal demands. However, all that is very risky being held. So delaying regional election is right, because during election, there will be massive mass gatherings. Meanwhile, referring to the COVID-19 pandemic, a way to stop the outbreak is reducing people gatherings because gatherings will cause high risk of infections. Moreover, there are usually frictions that causes misunderstanding and conflicts in regional elections. Besides, with the delay, the government can concentrate more on the COVID-19 pandemic handling. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, here is Today in History. Our regular program Today in History starts from an event on May 7, 1945, when Nazi Germany surrendered unconditionally to the Allies during the Second World War. May 7, 1945 was the beginning of the end of the Second World War, marked by Nazi Germany's decision to surrender unconditionally to the Allies in fighting in Europe. An unconditional submission document was signed by General Gustav Jolt of Germany, Allied Commander General Bedold Smith of the United States, General Ivan Sasloparov of Russia, and General Francois Sevres of France. Next event was in 1949 on Ruhmreuchen Agreement. The Ruhmreuchen Agreement is an agreement between Indonesia and the Netherlands which began on April 14, 1949 and was finally signed at the Des Indies Hotel in Jakarta on May 7, 1949. The name was taken from the two delegation leaders, Muhammad Ruhm and Herman Van Rooyen. This agreement was very tough, requiring the presence of Bung Hatta from exile in Bangka, also the 9th Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono from Yogyakarta to reinforce the position of the Government of Republic of Indonesia in Yogyakarta. The 9th Sultan Hamengkubuwono asserted Yogyakarta is the Republic Indonesia. The last event is that in 1992, Space Shuttle Endeavour was launched. Endeavour is the latest spacecraft owned by NASA. This spacecraft was made to replace the Challenger that underwent an accident in 1986 and killed 7 astronauts. Endeavour began to be developed on February 15, 1982 and was launched the first time into space on May 7, 1992. Endeavour is one of the three space shuttles that are still operating in the NASA fleet, the United States Space Agency. The other two spacecraft are Discovery and Atlantis. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Ku terkenang masa-masa indah kita lalui. Semua terasa bagai di alam mimpi ketika kau hadir kembali di hadapanku. Ku rasakan saat pertama ku kecup keningmu. Ya, detak jantungku berdebar keras bersama hangat dan mesra rasa cintamu. Kini kita kembali bersama dalam suasana yang sendu seperti kala kita pertama berjumpa saat itu. Namun tak mungkin lagi tuh kita mengulangi karena ada satu garis batas yang tercipta. Hingga tersenyum saja. Ku terkenang masa-masa indah kita lalui. semua terasa bagai di alam mimpi ketika ku hadir kembali di hadapanku. Ku rasakan saat pertama ku kecup keningmu hingga detak jantungku berdebar keras bersama hangat dan mesra rasa cintamu. Oh, oh. Dalam suasana yang sendu seperti kala kita pertama berjumpa saat itu, namun tak mungkin begitu kita mengulangi karena ada satu garis batas yang tercipta hingga saja. Kau sudah ada yang punya, begitupun dengan diriku. Kita hanya dapat mengingat semua kenangan. Oh oh oh, begitupun dengan diriku. Kita hanya dapat mengingat semua.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia title, Social Forest Farmer Group Appreciate Environment and Forestry Ministry's e-learning program. The Ministry of Environment and Forestry for 4 days from April 27 to 30, 2020 conducted a distance training or e-learning for mentors and farmers of social forestry. This distance training was held by the Ministry's Education and Training Center and its 7 education and training centers throughout Indonesia. The number of participants who took part in e-learning was approximately 500 assistants and farmers from the social forestry group from various places in Indonesia. Head of Ministry of Environment and Forestry, Counseling and Human Resource Development Agency, Helmi Basalamah, officially closed the first group of e-learning activities via video conference on April 30. Helmi hopes that after this activity, the participants can create social forestry assistance in various regions of Indonesia so that the acceleration and improvement of the quality of the social forestry program can be achieved. Helmi, in his report, also said that the participants were very enthusiastic about the distance learning program. This method is new for farmers, but they realized that only by using a smartphone or laptop and their internet connection, they can take part in training and gain knowledge from competent sources without having to leave their homes. According to Helmi, the e-learning methods is designed to organize training that is easy, inexpensive, effective, and efficient that can reach people across the archipelago. He said teamwork between tutors, admins, and committees are absolutely necessary during the online learning process. The similarity of concepts and perceptions between faraway tutors is very important. Thereby, the learning process is smooth, timely, not disturbed by signals or other disturbances. To accelerate the social forestry program, the Ministry of Environment and Forestry will continue the social forestry e-learning activities. The target for June 2020 is 3,000 participants, consisting of 100 groups. That was My Indonesia.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today, I'm going to introduce you to Madani Pasir Pangarayan Great Mosque in Riau. As a country with Muslims majority, it is not difficult to find mosque in Indonesia. The mosque were built with beautiful architecture. One of them is Madani Pasir Pangarayan Great Mosque in Riau. Located at Pematang Berangan, Rokan Hulu Regency, Riau Province, the mosque is one of the most luxurious mosques throughout Southeast Asia. Its greatness makes the Madani Pasir Pangrayan Great Mosque becomes a pilot mosque in Indonesia. Masjid Agung Madani Pasir Pangairan or Madani Pasir Pangairan Great Mosque, that also known as the National Islamic Center or MAMIC of Pasir Pangairan, is an icon of Rokan Hulu Regency. The development of the mosque was begun in 2008 and inaugurated on August 6, 2010. MAMIC Rokan Hulu was built on 22 hectares land with 15,800 square meters area of building. The building can accommodate 15,000 until 20,000 people. The mosque adapted to Arabic-style modern mosque with a large dome with a diameter of 25 meters on the roof of the main building. The dome is flanked by four towers at every corner of the mosque with 66.66 meters high and aided with a 99 meters high main tower which is separated by the main building of the mosque. Access to the main building of the mosque consists of 9 doors, 3 doors respectively at 3 sides of the mosque. The mosque interior is decorated with various calligraphy and candelier made of brass plates from Italy, weighing 2 tons. The mosque building is also decorated with various ornamental stones such as the Oxy stone from East Java, the Akik stone from Kalimantan and Turkey, the Christopher stone from West Java and Kalimaya from Banten. At the edge, there is a chain which is a symbol of the unity of Muslims, its words of the Sabilillah Khaydir Ali, 16 crossbows of Shaydina Ali bin Abi Talib, and 8 spears of Abu Bakar As-Siddiq, as well as Kusuma flowers, a symbol of the triumph of Islam, and surrounded by the letters of Al-Fatiha, Al-Kafirun, An-Nas, and 99 Asma'ul Husna or names of Allah Almighty. Besides being a place of worship, the Great Mosque of Pasir Pangrayan is also one of the religious tourism sites in the Rokan Hulu Regency. One of the interesting tourist activities is looking the city of Pasir Pangrayan from the height of this mosque tower. Well, listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder featuring the Great Mosque of Pasir Pangrayan in Riau. Tomorrow we will meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye for now.
Sementara ku akan terlepas.
Listener, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Listeners, welcome back in our regular segment, Miss Eleni. In today's edition, we present you information on Kurma program. Provincial government of Jakarta has issued religious restriction, which is conducted at worship places and appeals people to worship at home. The restriction is enacted to suppress coronavirus COVID-19 transmission in Jakarta. The prohibition is contained in the government regulation number 33/2020 concerning large-scale social restriction in handling COVID-19 in Jakarta. During the restriction, especially in this Ramadan month, concerns arise. The people do not get spiritual guidance from religious leaders because they have to be at home. Therefore, during the months of Ramadan 1441 Hijrah, the Indonesian Ulama Council of Jakarta Province, Basnas Basis of Jakarta, and the Provincial Government of Jakarta organized the Ramadan Lecture Program, abbreviated as KURMA. With the existence of Kurma program, Muslims, especially those who live in Jakarta, can get guidance and learning from the scholars. Chairperson of the Indonesian Ulema Council of Jakarta Province, Munahar Mukhtar, said that the Ramadan lecture becomes a mediator for the presence of ulemas and the government in the community when all religious activities in the holy months are suggested to be carried out at home because of the COVID-19 outbreak. In addition, according to Munahar Mokhtar, the Kurma program is held as a form of ulama's responsibility, especially in Jakarta, to be able to be continuously present amid the people, even though it must be through long distance or online. Kurma program is carried out in the form of video broadcasts, both live and delayed. For live broadcasts, you can watch every Friday at 12:30 West Indonesian time, while the delayed broadcast can be watched every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at PM West Indonesian time. Both of these broadcasts can be watched by accessing the website www.beritajakarta.id/live, www.muidkijakarta.or.id, or on the YouTube channel Kiai Haji Munahar Mukhtar. That was our segment miscellany for today. Thanks for listening.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to Music Corner. Today, we will present a religious song by Kito Rolis. The singer with real name Bangun Sugito was a vocalist of the Rolis group that popular in 1960s. Besides, along with the Rolis, Gito also actively released some albums as a soloist. He has released 15 albums, including a religious album titled Kembali Padanya, which was released in 2007. One of the songs in the album is Hanya Padamu Aku Bergantung. The song tells of someone who surrendered to Almighty God. Listener, let's listen to the song Hanya Padamu Aku Bergantung, sung by Kito Rolis. Enjoy the song.
Oh,
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Tiada berdaya.
Alright, listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening. But stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter at VOI Indonesia and send us email on voi@voinews.id.